Thanks for tuning in to Organic Matters. I hope every week I'm getting more and more hits. I've been on the podcast about 6 months now or seven, but I've been on radio stations, well, at different times, Virginia and Texas for years, out west for a year or so. But I've been on 22 years, and it began just as an organic gardening show. I do delve more into other things now because climate change is doing what it's doing, because COVID is so predominant. Some of those things are part of being in touch with the world around us. We won't be here without it, folks. And as we approach 8 billion of us, it's becoming more and more evident that we are the driving force in what we call the Anthropocene, or however you want to say it. That's sort of the people's earth. And we need to consider that, not just for us. I'm getting up in years, but I got it. Children and grandchildren. And not too far down the road, they'll have grandchildren. And folks, if you don't care about yourself, care about them. We are saving this, hopefully, to be as good or better than it was when we got here. But right now, we're not doing a real good job. So let's talk about both the good and the bad. And thanks again for finding Organic Matters. A pet peeve, and I always hit one or two of those each week. Expanded polystyrene foam containers and polystyrene loose fill packaging ban is on the radar. Actually, it started a couple years ago. New York State adopted the nation's strongest state ban of expanded styrene, called polystyrene. Single-use foam food and beverage containers and polystyrene loose fill packaging materials, commonly known as packing peanuts. Polystyrene foam is a concern for people and the environment. Foam packaging is one of the top contributors of environmental litter, causing negative impacts to the wildlife, the waterways, and other natural resources, as well as littering our communities and our natural areas. It is lightweight, breaks apart easily, and does not readily biodegrade. When polystyrene foam ends up as litter in the environment, it can persist for a long time and may also become microplastic pollution, which we're learning more about. In addition, foam containers and loose fill packaging, such as the famous packaging peanuts, are not accepted in most recycling programs anymore, especially in New York State, because the foam is so difficult to recycle and has such a low value. For these reasons, certain expanded polystyrene foam products will be banned in New York to protect the environment, our communities, and to support sustainable materials management. Do think about this, folks, for our states too. This is a good idea for all of us. Effective date, and the reason I brought this up today, was January 1st of 2022, the beginning of this year. Under the expanded polystyrene foam container and polystyrene loose fill packaging ban, effective again the 1st of this year, no covered food service provider or store, retail or wholesale, will be allowed to offer to sell or distribute disposable food service containers that contain expanded polystyrene foam in the whole state of New York. In addition, no manufacturer or store will be allowed to sell, offer to sell, or distribute polystyrene loose fill packaging, again, commonly referred to as packing peanuts, in the state of New York. And I recommend that a number of other states, preferably all of them, would consider this as soon as possible. For those of you that are new to me, you're going to hear my bird in the background. The reason is we've had some terrible weather where I am this time of the year, and he has nowhere to go, and I don't know how to keep him quiet. So I hope you don't mind a little talk once in a while. I have nowhere to stick him except in my studio here, and he's a bit of a pain. But anyway, just wanted to let you know what the background noise is. Another one of my favorite subjects, which is getting more and more popular. It used to be either they didn't listen or they didn't understand, but now we're talking more and more about inside clean energy batteries. They got much cheaper again in the year that just ended. So how close are we to EVs, electric vehicles, that cost less than gasoline vehicles? Despite inflation concerns, EVs remain on a path for price parity with gasoline models not too far down the road. The price of batteries that power electric vehicles have fallen by over 90% since they first sort of got introduced about, well, 2010 was the year they use. A continuing trend that will soon make EVs less expensive than gasoline vehicles. First, let's look at some numbers. Now, these are not right up to date, but I got the newest ones I could get, and that's for the part of the year 2021 coming into 2022. The average price of lithium-ion battery packs fell to $130 per kilowatt hour in 2021. That's down 6% from the 140 kilowatt hour the previous year, according to the annual battery price survey. The new average is a step closer to the benchmark of about $100, that far away now, per kilowatt hour, which researchers say is the point where EVs will cost the same as gasoline-powered vehicles. Actually, the last part of 2021 and coming into 2022, they didn't decline per kilowatt hour as much, but I don't even have to explain it. The whole COVID situation, the change in marketing, the real problem was there's a number of pieces that go into electric cars, the same as regular automobiles, that you just couldn't get. They just aren't available right now due to shortages and shipping problems. So it will continue to decline. It's already starting this year. As soon as the year started, it's going back on its, I want to call it downhill slide, but it's a good slide in this case because the cheaper they get, the better it is for all of us. I should say even at $100, it's at the upper end of the parity, but it is getting closer all the time. And scientists are looking forward to a number of reasons. One, even more efficient batteries. The only thing we've got to do now is you've got to get them online. So they've got to build more factories. There's a number of them coming up. They look forward to not too many years down the road, now not months, but years, $60 per kilowatt hour, which will actually be less expensive than we can afford to build combustion engine cars. But take a minute with me here and let's actually evaluate the total cost of owning an EV versus a current I'm going to use the word gas combustion automobile. So let's talk for a minute about what I would call total cost of ownership. Now, that includes fuel, insurance, maintenance, and depreciation. When looked at it this way, many EVs often already are on parity with gasoline vehicles just because of the savings of the fuel and the maintenance. Remember, folks, all the parts in a combustion car and the way it has to transfer its energy. EVs, for the most part, there's an electric motor on one, two, three, or four wheels. That's the moving parts. The average maintenance cost per item, let's call it per vehicle, is already far less than it is to really take care of your combustion engine car. Kind of as food for thought, as battery prices decrease, the gap in the purchase price should and will continue to shrink. While EVs continue right now to have lower cost to operate, another thing that's kicking in is a tax credit, which we had for a while. It was up to $7,500, and that is proposed right now, and looks like it's probably going to go through both sides of Congress. So then you buy the vehicle, and then you get $7,500 back off what you paid for it, and you're at parity now. You're buying a car that will be within not very much money difference from a, let's say, a small combustion compact to a regular or a small size EV, minus that $7,500, they call it a rebate, and you're on parity, not to mention, again, the EV is way less expensive to keep on the road. And another interesting fact that doesn't come up, even in where I have looked at it, the studies on it, most EVs are 10 years or 100,000 miles bumper to bumper, and with very little maintenance. There was some battery fire problems 8 or 10 years ago. Somebody still talks about those, but downtime for the vehicle you're going to own is less, sometimes even said considerably less, for the time you own it than a like combustion engine car. Sometime a few years down the road, you'll see that the cost of an average EV car is going to be the same as a similar size car with a combustion engine. The interesting part here becomes that as they get to be more sold, the sales are going to go up, and eventually, without a doubt, maybe it's a decade, But you're going to find out that an EV car is going to cost you less to buy than a combustion, likewise, truck or car, and be more reliable and much less expensive to maintain. Although EVs aren't really a big part of the market yet in the world, they're coming, and they're coming faster than we even anticipated that they would. So I predict, even to those that are resistant right now to the idea of an electric car for a number of reasons, it won't go far enough, whatever, that's ending, number one. It appears that in the next 3 or 4 years, the average electric car will probably go further on a charge than a gas combustion engine car will on a full tank of gas. Right now, the more expensive EVs, some of them are rated at 500 miles between charges. Oh, and incidentally, charge times are going down tremendously. There's a bill that's already gone through this year, well, actually last year, it just turned, that is going to build thousands of charging stations across the nation, making it simple to go from station to station. You can already do that. I met a man 6 months ago, right before I came up here for the winter, that was on his way from Miami, Florida, to Los Angeles, literally, and was stopped charging a car outside of a central small town. I think I was outside of Junction, Texas. And it took him 30 or 40 minutes to sit there. He was having a cup of coffee and reading a book. It was his third stop is all. He thought he was going to have one or two more. It might have taken him an extra 4 or 5 hours, but his savings in fuel and, of course, the idea that he thought contributing to the good side of the environment was, to him, well worth the little bit of extra time it was going to take him. And even though here I am trying to sell you an electric car, no, I'm not in the business. And I am enthusiastic about EV vehicles, but I still want to encourage people, for a lot of reasons, do walking when you can. Bike, I'm an electric bike owner. I have not such good legs, but I might ride it every day that's decent. And of course, in cities where it's available, mass transportation is still even more efficient than basically any, at least any EV or gas combustion engine vehicle you can own or drive. Thanks for staying tuned here to Organic Matters. Hang in there just a few seconds for a little musical interlude to the next part of the show.